Hi, this sequence will probably take about an hour. You can, as I said before, you can always leave us and out to suit the time you have, but it's always good practice to finish with the shoulder stand or setu bund and always the short shavasana. In the sequence is probably geared to a general practice, but you, if you, regardless of the experience you have, you can always have a go at it. You may need, however, to do if you're not practicing Shirsasana headstand or any of the other inversions, it is better off that you do the preparations, or say with headstand, for example, Prasarita Padottanasana. So be on your mat in Tadasana. Bring the weight back onto your heels. Spread your toes. And as you bring the weight back onto your heels, feel the front of the thighs firming. Make sure the back of the legs are rolling out broad right at the very top. But as you roll the back of your legs out at the top, don't flare your calves out and broaden the back of the knee, calves out. Shape the outer calves back and hold the outer shin. Release your toes as you do this so you don't begin to grip. Extend and lengthen right down through to your fingertips. Spread across the top of the chest from the center of your sternum. Feel the clavicle bones broadening right out to the very outside edge of your shoulders. And then shape the outer arm back. Watch you don't take your outer shoulders back. Shape the outer arm back and pin the scapula onto your back chest. Release your face, the tongue. Release the back of the ears. Quieten your eyes. Tadasana. Urdhva Hastasana. And as you take your arms up into your Urdhva Hastasana, remember Urdhva is up. So extend right to the very fingertips, but come from the soles of your feet. See, the weight still is on the heels. It hasn't crept forward to the toe side of the foot. Weight your heels and focus for a moment at working the outer upper arm, lengthening right through to your fingertips so you can feel that sharpness of the outer arm. So you're getting the energy moving, the circulation through the shoulders, through the side ribs, through your side chest. And then take the arms back to the side. And feel when you take the arms back to the side, you might even feel the circulation, the blood releasing right down to your very fingertips now. Because that's the beauty of your inversions. Whether you're standing on your head or your shoulders, but when you take, say, your arms above your head. Gamukhasana. So when you take your right arm up and turn your right arm, upper arm in, bend the elbow and bring your hand down towards your upper back shoulders. Just feel that you're not letting the outer arm go back. Really shape it forward and then bend the left elbow and take the hand behind the back as if you're going to do Paschima Namaskar, but you're going to turn the palm enough so you can reach towards your fingertips and hold the right fingertips with your left. If you can't catch, use a strap. And then just weight your heels again. Release your hands. And now prepare to go to the left side. Take your left arm up, bend the arm. But as you do, watch you don't let the elbow go out to the left. Really bring your outer arm forward so you can get that upper arm lifting more from the armpit to the elbow, so you get height in the elbow but also length in your armpit. Then you might even feel your side chest beginning to work. Then right hand behind, and remember there's often those imbalances, and where you might be able to hold the right side, the left side might be a little bit more challenging, but be challenged by it. Just wait your heels. Watch your breath. And release and bring your arms down. Urdhva Baddha Ungriyasana, where you interlock your fingers, turn your palms out. And as you take your arms and straighten your arms up above your head, again, you've got to work that outer arm so you don't let the outer arm and the armpit turn out. The armpit shapes forward. The side chest moves back, outer arm forward. Just feel as you begin to extend and straighten your arms, you'll feel your fingers, you feel the roots of your fingers. Certainly your wrists, but let your wrists open. Really great opening for your wrist, which is often reflective of what's going on in the shoulders. Release your hands and opposite interlock with your fingers. And see if you can get right to the very web of your fingers when you interlock your fingers. It's a preparation for you to be able to use your hands well in Shirsasana. Turn your palms out and then go quietly. Don't rush it. You've got to get length. You've got to get space. And take your arms up. Just watch. Watch your breath. Just see that your breath isn't a bit ragged. So just see if you can soften your breath, quieten your breath once you've attained the extension. And release and bring your arms down. Just turn to your sideways onto your mat, place your hands onto the floor. If you need to bend your knees, do, but endeavour to keep your legs straight, but place your hands onto the floor. Spread your hands and just feel that upper arm. Just worked it well in the other couple of poses. And step back into your Adho Mukha Svanasana. Release the back of your head. Spread the back of your upper thighs, spread the back of your knees. And like you did in Tadasana, make sure you are shaping the outer calf back. Look and see that your feet, that you've got that arch in your foot, that you've got your inner ankle lifting. So you get that connection to the inner part of your upper leg. Release your head again. And then see if you can catch and feel the upper arms that you've just been working. Spread your hands, spread your fingers. And just draw your heels up as high as you can. But as you do, pin the back chest, pin the scapula so you don't let your shoulders drop forward. Otherwise, you'll lose the connection to your legs and your arms. And just hold there. You've got lots of height in your hips, lots of height in your upper legs, lots of height in your upper arm. And then just quietly take your heels back. Take your heels back. Don't drop them down. Take them back. And with that upward, backward movement, the heels will lengthen towards the floor. And now go back to Uttanasana. Hold your arms, release the back of the head, spread your toes, and then let your base tell you where the balance of your pose is. See, you've brought in Uttanasana, the weight comes more through to the front part of your foot, so you're not heavy on your heels. Just spread your toes as you bring the weight more forward. Make the upper leg lift even more. Padangustasana. Slip your fingers underneath your toes. Pin your fingers down with your toes. And first stage, straighten your arms so you stay connected to that upper part of your body. Shake the outer arm back. And as you straighten your arms, just quietly draw your side chest forward towards your head side. Don't let your waist be heavy. You don't want the heavy organs of the pelvis draw them towards your chest side and work the upper legs. If you're not catching your toes, use a strap. That's fine, use a strap. Bend your elbows wide, wide out to the side. And take your elbows wide out to the side by keeping the upper arms connected. Pin the scapula. All of those things are important. If you forget your upper arms, the shoulders will come heavy into your neck and your throat. Ascend to descend, says Guruji. Release your fingers, Adho Mukha Svanasana. Back of the leg out, upper arm, side ribs. And then inhale and exhale, go to Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. Urdhva up. So as you bring your chest forward, again, outer upper arm, back of the legs, stay connected to your legs, stay connected to your arms, don't sink. And then Urdhva Mukha Svanasana, press up and back again, as high as you can with your hips. And then one more time, Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. And you can repeat this as often as you would like in the sequence. What are we up to? Adho Mukha Svanasana. And then walk back to Uttanasana and come to stand in Tadasana. Tadasana, just as a preparation to go into a few standing poses. Prepare for Uttita Trikonasana. Hands across the chest, jump your arms and legs wide. Weight your heels like Tadasana initially, so you stay connected to your legs, lift up through your waist and spread your arms out to the side. So even though you feel your legs, you've got to connect to your arms, so you keep your chest spreading, the throat quiet. Weight your left heel and turn the whole of your right leg out for right side of Uttita Trikonasana. Spread your toes. And then lateral extension to the right, Uttita Trikonasana. And as you extend out to the right, as your right hand comes to go down towards the floor, spread your left arm and extend your left fingertips up towards the ceiling. Watch that you don't lean on your shin. It's not a leaning pose. As your hand may be touching your shin or maybe a brick, spread your chest. Right from your right fingertips to your left fingertips. And then come back and weight your right heel. Left heel. Weight your left heel. And then as you do that, see if you can work through your inner left leg to lift the inner pelvis, to shake the outer hip back. So you're not letting the left hip fold down onto your right. Inhale, come up. Bring your feet forward. Now, go to the left side. And as you just turn your left right foot in slightly, but don't over roll your right hip forward to the left. Weight your heels and make that inner leg, the inner leg stay connected to the inner right pelvis and lift there as you turn the whole of the left leg out. It'll want to drop that right hip. Hold it tall as you turn your right left leg out. Left side, Uttita Trikonasana. And as you go to the left, spread your pelvis, lift your waist, spread your chest through your arms and your legs. Our organs of action. Organs of action, says Guruji. Spread your arms, quieten your breath. Now lift your chest. And if you're turning your head, if you've got a neck problem, just either look forward or down towards the floor, but lift your chest. Your chest will turn your head. Your neck, don't let your head turn right from your neck. Turn it from your feet and look up towards your right hand. Inhale, come up. Bring your feet together and be back in Tadasana. Padmottanasana, hands across the chest, Take your arms and legs wide. Now in Parsvottanasana, as you know, both legs are rolling in. So keep your arms wide and turn the trunk and the feet and the legs all the way around to the right. And as you do, make sure that left upper leg rolls in. Your left hip comes forward. Now turn your arms, and with that Urdhva Hastasana action, extend your arms up either side of your ears. Weight your back heel. Your back heel is weighted. Your front heel isn't weighted, but you come more to the sole of your front foot. So you've got to pin down your big toe and your root of your big toe. Inhale, exhale, Parsvottanasana. If you need bricks, use them, but hands on the floor. Look forward, weight your back heel. And now prepare to bend your elbows wide and ascend. Ascend your buttocks, ascend your legs as you take your head down. And like we said before, ascend to descend. Look forward, extend your arms, inhale, come up. Bring your feet forward and go to the left side. Parsvottanasana. Look at your back leg, feel your back leg. See that it's not bending. See the weights on your heel. Make sure the upper inner leg is holding tall towards the pelvis. The back of the knee is spreading, your back leg. You'll feel your front leg, but you've got to know what your back leg is doing. Parsvottanasana, left side. And it's lateral extension, both sides. So watch as your hands touch the floor. Spreading your hands if you can, fingertips or bricks, whatever you're doing. Just make sure your upper arm look forward, spread your chest, shape the outer left leg back, shape it back, shape the outer calf back. Bring the inner knee slightly more forward and then weight your right back heel. Bend your elbows wide and lengthen along that left leg. Lengthen forward. Extend your arms forward. Inhale, come up. Bring your feet forward. And bring your feet back into Tadasana. Just be quiet, be settled. Just look at your principal points of your Tadasana, or that maybe that point in Tadasana that you know perhaps slips you by. Spread your chest, extend your arms. Urdhva Hastasana, Utkatasana. Weights on your heels, legs are rolling in, ankles, knees, groin bending. Front pelvis. So watch your front pelvis doesn't drop into your legs. Lift your front pelvis away from your legs. And watch as you do that. You don't bring your weight forward onto your toes. Keep the weight back on your heels. So you connect your upper legs. You connect your upper legs to your torso. Inhale, come up. Be back in Tadasana. Now the next pose is Vimanasana, where again, both legs are rolling in. So to get it, you might need to slightly lift your back heel. Hands across the chest, jump your arms and legs wide. Be generous with your width. It's like in Virabhadrasana 1. Pin the scapula onto your back chest. Your arms are out to shoulder height in Vimanasana. Now you're going to turn to the right, and as you turn to the right, those three joints of your right legs are going to bend again. Groin, knee, ankle. And then as you turn, even pivot on your left big toe and turn your left heel out to the left to bring the outer left hip forward. lift your chest more. Don't let your chest sag, front pelvis, just like in Utkatasana, front pelvis to your chest. And then come up, turn to the front, reestablish your feet, your legs, pin your scapula against your back chest, extend your arms. Now, left side, and then synchronize as you turn to soften the groin, to bend your knee and ankle. And then as you turn to the left, lift your waist and bring the outside of your left hip around more. If you need to lift your heel, lift your heel. Turn a little more. Turn your waist from right to left. Turn your chest right to left, but extend your right arm as you do. Inhale, come up. And turn to the front and come back into Tadasana. So remember all those points with your legs and your hips when you do Virabhadrasana 1. Hands across the chest. Take your arms and legs wide. And remember in your Virabhadrasana 1, you've got to make sure your knee doesn't override your shin. So the weight's on your heel and the shin moves to the knee and the thigh moves back to your torso. So have your legs suitably wide enough. And if they're not, come up and take them wide enough. This time, Urdhva Hastasana with your arms. Turn to the right, and as you turn to the right, bend, soften the groin, lift your waist, lift your chest, extend your arms. Your arms are a key here. If your arms sag, you'll get heavy. Bring the weight back onto the heel. If the heel is just not managing to get to the floor, still extend it, and then work to bring the outer left hip around. So your waist turns from left to right. Quiet breath. To come up, not just your legs, arms. Inhale, come up. Bring your feet forward. If you need to bring your hands onto your hips because you've become a little bit breathless, do it. But see if you can maintain the upward movement of your arms. Virabhadrasana 1, left side. And as you turn, lift your waist. So we're just not getting the structural bones, the body turning and the muscles working, but your organic body. Release your groin. Virabhadrasana 1, left side. Keep your throat quiet. Watch. Watch as you are turning. You're not beginning to over grip in your tongue. Release your jaw. Eyes quiet. See, this time with your arms up, you can slightly lift your arms and slightly even take your arms a little bit further back so you feel that connection of your back chest, the scapula. Inhale, come up. Bring your feet forward and be back in Tadasana. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Urdhva Mukha Svanasana. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Come on, work your legs. Urdhva, urdhva, upper arm, shape it back, upper legs. Roll it in at the front, spread the back of the knees. Adho Mukha Svanasana. Tadasana. Gamukhasana again. So see if your Gamukhasana has changed since you began it at the beginning of the sequence. Can you grip your fingers a little bit more? Can you lift your upper arm, elbow a little bit more? You're going to do a few more inversions. You're going to do a few inversions at the moment. So you've got to really think about what's happened in your upper arm. Release your hands, do left side. Your upper arm gives you your Shirsasana arm. Your lower arm gives you your Shavasana arm. Release your hands. Now the next few poses, we're going to do a few inversions. So if you're not doing the inversions, you can do the preparations. Those who do Pinchamayurasana, find yourself a wall. If you don't need a wall, fine. And move your forearms down, outer elbows in. And before you go up, think how much you've got to work your upper arm. If you're not doing Pinchamayurasana, you can do the foundations with your arms and your shoulders. Those who are doing Pinchamayurasana, do two or three, just in your own time. Just have a play with it, but making sure you're working your legs. If you're not doing Pinchamayurasana, you can work the preparation, keep your feet on the floor, working the upper arm. You might take one leg up, bring it down, the other leg up, bring it down. Or you can even go and do that upper arm preparation with your elbows on your table or wherever it's suitable. Just have a rest, do two or three. Come to Uttanasana after that. Okay, if you do Adho Mukha Vrikshasana handstand, place your hands on the floor. Remember your upper arms. If you're not doing Adho Mukha Vrikshasana, then again, you can put your hands on the floor, lift your arms. You can take one leg up, bring it down, the other leg up and bring it down. Or if you know the preparation, you can place your hands on the floor and bring your feet up onto the wall. So you make that right angle shape and focus on your upper arms and your shoulders. Those who are doing Adho Mukha Vrikshasana, think of how much your upper legs work, your inner heel extends. Release your head once in a while so you're not, you release the back of your neck. And then come back into Tadasana. Now you're going to prepare to do Shirsasana shoulder stand. No, let me get it right. You're going to do Shirsasana headstand. So if you regularly practice Shirsasana, find your mats and place your forearms down. And then up you go. If you're not doing Shirsasana, you can do the preparation. And if you're not doing the preparation, do Prasarita Padottanasana, where your legs are wide. You can rest your forehead on a chair, or you can put your hands on the floor. Those that are in Shirsasana, just feel your upper arms. They should be alive. They should be sharp. A lot of circulation in your shoulders and your upper arm. And then extend through your inner heel. You make your legs work. You're connecting your arms to your chest. Connect your legs to your torso. And extend your legs. So don't let your legs be heavy and sink onto your torso. So your torso holds to your legs. And extend your inner heel. Back of the leg rolling out. Back of your upper arm rolling out. See your weight is evenly distributed through your forearms and more towards the wrist side of your forearms. Your fingers should be lengthening to the opposite wrist, right fingers, left wrist, left fingertips, left wrist, right left fingertips, right wrist. And the palms of your fingers shouldn't be gripping the top of your hand. So once in a while you might even, you know, spread your fingers. So you're not letting the thumb side of your wrist drop away from your head side. Lengthen the little finger side of your wrist towards the little finger. So you connect your upper arms in a way that your arms don't get tired. So your jaw isn't gripping. Throat is quiet. Back of the ears releasing. Observe how you're breathing. If you're getting heavy and hot, you've got to watch. Otherwise, you might be impinging onto your nervous system, and you don't want that. In your shisasan, the heat doesn't come up onto the physical body. Extend your inner heel. Spread the back of the knees. And as if your body begins to get heavy and tired, charge it. Use everything to charge and extend the inner heel. If the mind is getting heavy, or it's saying how long, make your outer body, your outer framework hold. So you feel even more that you can stay a little further. It's important that you know that you don't feel your neck. A few more moments. Eyes quiet. Shasana. Like your other poses, like say in Uttanasana, you ascend to descend. So ascend shoulders, legs, buttocks, and as you begin to bring, either bend your knees or come down two legs together. But ascend shoulders, back chest, hips, to bring your feet to the floor. You can stay forward in Adho Mukha, Virasana or Uttanasana. Or you can roll your sticky mat up and just place it across your upper chest for a few moments. That's all of you, that whatever you're doing. Quite roll over to the side and be up in Dandasana. Use height if you need it. Back the leg out. Hands on the floor, either palms, and if you've got your palms on the floor, don't lean on your hands. Think of the lift of the wrist to the forearm, to the upper arm. Take the outer arm back. Spread your chest. Dandasana. Pashva Dandasana. As you turn to the right, re-establish your base, with your legs. Extend your inner right heel. So make sure your right leg doesn't shorten back to the hip. Take the outer left hip back, hold there, and turn your waist. Hold your back ribs. And if you go forward to hold onto the little toe side of your right foot with your left hand, so you don't close your chest, turn your chest from left to right. And get that turning. You're beginning to learn how to turn and lengthen to go to Paravritta Paschimottanasana. So as you turn your waist well, turn your chest and come up and do the left side. Turn first, get the hold. And if you're going to go forward to the little toe side of your right foot, use a strap if you need it. Don't let your left chest collapse onto your right. Lift your waist. Engage that heaviness of the lower abdomen and make it lift. So you know the circulation is being moved around. You've just done an inversion, so it should be quite light as you turn. Hold your back right ribs in. Shape the outer arm. Even here, you've got to think about what you're doing with your arms, what you're doing with your legs, and come back. Marichyasana 3. Bend your right heel, bend your right knee, and now turn to the right. Either hold the shin first to get the lift and turn your waist, then hook the left arm across. Hook, not to turn too quickly. Hook to lift and lengthen. Hold your legs, lift and lengthen. And turn. Turn your left chest. Turn your left waist to the right. Turn your left lower abdomen to the right. And just stay tall. You don't have to keep turning. Your inner body is working. Your inner pelvis. Your inner organs. Your breath quietens and come back to the front. And now do left side. So turn to the left, lift your waist, turn your chest. Keep your throat quiet. Just stay quiet. Twists are very quietening. Inhale, exhale, turn. Pause, inhale, exhale, turn. You're not binding, you're getting the upward lift, you're turning. Extend your inner right heel, but hold the outer head of that right leg. Groin stays soft as you turn to the left. And then come back to Dandasana. Uttanasana. Now you're going to prepare for Shavasana shoulder stand. So if you do, get whatever you need. You will be going into a Halasana. So if you need support, your chair, maybe you need to put yourself near your lounge, maybe you need to put yourself near your coffee table to bring your feet down, whatever. If you're not doing shoulder stand and you need to do supported, then whatever you need. And if you're not, haven't got the right equipment at the moment, you can do Setubandh. So for your shoulder stand, so you get the shoulders in the right place, so your head is correctly supported and your neck correctly supported. This is where the downward movement of Gulmukhasana arm helps with the Shavasana. So as you bend your arms, to bring your hands onto your back, make sure your outer arm stays sharply down. If you need to, you know, extend your arms or interlock your fingers to get it, do. but make sure you're connected to that upper arm. So that when you bend your wrist to bring your fingers onto your back ribs, that index finger finds a space in between two ribs and you dig the upper arms down then. So just don't leave your arms behind and see that you can bring your hands onto your back ribs. You've got to work your upper arms to dig in those fingers to bring the back chest to your front chest so your back ribs aren't sagging back. And so you bring your hands onto your back ribs with good purpose. And you do like that. And now you can see your legs. So make your upper legs work. You can see them. You can see what they're doing. Your inner heel is spreading. Your little toe side of a foot is sharp. So it shapes and broadens from the big toe to the little toe and shapes down towards the floor, towards you. So your little toe isn't higher up towards the ceiling than your big toe. Remember your feet and your Tadasana. Your soles of your feet spread. Your heel spreads. But the sole, your little toe side of the foot spreads away from the big toe. Back of the legs rolling up. Front of your thighs holding to the bone so they're not puffing. Just slightly take the upper thighs back, but at the same time as you do that, hold the tailbone. Because if you take your upper thighs back and forget your back pelvis and your tailbone, then the pose will get very heavy. So maybe first hold and make sure you've got the tailbone holding away from your back waist, embedded into your buttock, and then against that holding, as if you've got a force holding your tailbone forward, take the upper thighs back. Take the upper thighs back. And as you take your upper thighs back, extend your inner heel. Eyes quiet. Tongue releasing. Face absolutely quiet, watching, observing. You have to constantly watch, observe. Is this happening? What's happened here? Lift more, maybe. I'm not calling variations, but some of you might do variations, but I'm not calling them. Halasana. If you're going to the floor, turn your toes forward. If you're on the chair or support, do the same. And you're still working your legs, you're not resting at the moment. Just do a working halasana for a moment. And really work the outer legs. The buttock bones tall. Throat quiet. And now slip your straps off. Extend your arms over your head. Of course, you can do Kanapidasana if you wish, or Niyarambala Shravangasana. and then come down. You're in Setu Bound, come out, or whatever you're doing. You've brought your shoulders and head onto the floor. The buttocks might be on your support. Just let your ribs spread, your diaphragm quieten. And now prepare for the twist, Jatara Parvartanasana. So arms out to the side, shoulders, buttock on the floor. Have your feet on the floor with your knees bent. Now still in this pose, you've got to be really mindful about your arms, your shoulders, your neck, your chest. Just slightly slip your hips to the left. Bring your thighs to the abdomen, and it is an abdominal. So don't let your legs just be, your thighs nearly be at right angles to your hips. Hold your shins if you need to take them across to the right. And as you go across to the right, your right, left arm will want to come with you. Extend your left arm. Extend your left chest to the left arm as you take your knees across to the right. And you can rest them on the floor, or you can put a brick underneath your outer thigh. It's after Shavasana, it's a good releasing pose to do. And just stay quiet there. Just turning your right chest to your left a little bit more. But your waist and your hips turn towards the right. And come back. And prepare to the left side. Shift your hips and go across to the left. And just watch as you go across to the left that the breath doesn't hold. Support your thighs in this when you're doing it as an abdominal twist, but you're doing it for a twist to release after Shavasana. Just stay quiet. Sure, your right hip comes across to the left. Don't leave it behind. You've got to really bring it around. If you need to adjust your left under hip, take the left under hip back along the floor and then turn your chest. And then come back. And come back into Tadasana. Oh, no, not Tadasana, Dandasana. Take your legs wide, Upavishtakonasana. And so have those two buttock bones very present. So if you need to sit up on a blanket, sit up. If you buttock bones begin to turn towards down towards your legs, you need to sit up a little higher so the buttock bones move back and slightly out so the back of your legs roll out. Parshva Upavishtakonasana. Turning to the right. And like you did in Parshva Dandasana, extend the left hand across. Use a strap if you need to. Make sure your waist and your lower abdomen turn from left to right. Your left back ribs lengthen towards your left arm and hold in, so don't let them be heavy. If you take hold of the foot, take your right hand underneath your left hand, hold the big toe side of your foot, and then bend your elbows wide and go forward. Just be quiet there. Extend your left heel. Extend your left inner heel. And let the inside edge of that left knee stay pinned into the floor. Come up and go to the left side. Come on, make the turning happen. So you don't go forward and have a heaviness onto the right waist or the right back. Lift and turn and turn and turn. So it's not just about holding the foot, it's about how you're turning, how your base is working, how the inner heel of the right is extending, how the back of your right thigh is grounded. Even though your right buttock might be slightly off the floor, the right thigh stays grounded as you turn. Bend the elbows wide. Go forward. Use your upper arm. Remember how you bent your elbows wide in Padangustasan. Inhale, come up. Upavishtakonasana. Be tall. You're going to go laterally in Paravita Upavishtakonasana. So you're going to turn towards the left leg. Take your right hand, hold the big toe side of the foot with the palm up. Catch with a strap if you need to. Make sure you're connecting your pelvis to your legs as you turn it. Bring your right chest around. And then as you bend the right elbow, lengthen it towards your right foot. Just don't take it to the floor. Lengthen it, lengthen it, lengthen it. Hook it. Hook it as far down the inside of your right knee, right leg as you can. And then just turn and turn your chest. Your left arm extends over your head like in Urdhva Hastasana. So don't let it fall in front of your face to take hold of your foot. Take the arm over, extend it, extend it. Feel the inner heel of the left, the little toe side of your left as you extend it. So the whole of your left leg is extending. And then as you bend the elbow, don't shorten your upper arm. Keep lengthening your upper arm to the elbow to take hold of your foot. And come up. And then go to the left side. So don't rush. It's to the end of your practice now. Your body should be responding. And not just your physical body. Your organic body's responding. Your breath body's responding. Your mind is responding. It's quiet. And then as you take hold and begin to bend your elbows wide, feel the presence of your chest. Turn it. The back of the head quiet. And come up. And now prepare for your Shavasana. And like you've done throughout the sequence, place your body, place your framework, the bones, the legs, the arms, so your spine will be placed well. Still even now, got to see what your arms are doing to your back chest, to your scapula, to your front chest, to your inner chest. Make sure the back of the neck is adequately supported. so your throat doesn't become heavy. And then once you place that body physically, let the little toe side of the foot drop away to the floor. Let the palms of the hands quiet. Feel the presence of your back body for a little time. But allow that firmness there to allow the inner chest to have that support. Watch your breath. Begin to watch your breath. You'll begin to be able to watch your breath. As that mental body begins to recede and take its place into quietness. So you cease to become a doer and be an observer. Inhaling, pausing, exhaling. Gradually you'll find you're able to watch the rise and fall of the chest with the inhalation and the exhalation. You might hear the quietness of the inhalation, the sound. You may notice the sound of the exhalation is slightly different to the sound of the inhalation. As it comes and goes, the tide rising and falling. Like the gentle waves of the sea coming up the beach, pausing and then receding back again. Slow, quiet, soft inhalation and exhalation. This is your peace. This is your quietness. This is your gift through your practice to yourself and the divine light within. This is your Shavasana. Stay for as long as you need. Namaste. Thank you. And thank you to our dear Guruji.